Well, guys, today we are preaching on Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. And it is a beautiful day as we celebrate what happened in the upper room, which we're going to talk about here today. And I've titled this message, We Need the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you from the outset that you and I need the Holy Spirit. God is three in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are eternal. They have always been. And one is not more important than the other. They are three in one. And I want to stir us up here this morning to not neglect the Spirit of God in our life. I find often in churches, I've been in this season as well, we can often think about God the Father and connect with God the Son. But I'm telling you, friends, there is so much power when we connect with the Holy Spirit as well. The same power, as Ebony said, the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwells and lives within us. Isn't that incredible? We have access to unlimited power. And I wanted to stir us up. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit isn't an it. He isn't like up away in the heavens on the clouds. Like, you know, he is a person. He's alive. He's real. He lives on the inside of us. He's in this room. And friend, I got to tell you, he is the greatest power in all of the earth. There is no power that even comes close to matching that of the Holy Spirit. And here today, we're going to talk about Pentecost. I'm having lots of computer fun, so I might just be preaching out of my heart, but we'll see how we go. But I want us to turn together to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to go there in a moment. I'm wondering, particularly husbands might relate to this. Some wives can as well. Some people. Have you ever had a classic I told you so in your marriage, a told you so moment? Yeah. Come on, who's leaving me hanging? I told you so. You do something stupid and your wife turns to you and she says those, your favorite words. Oh, didn't I tell you that? I remember Ebony and I were so blessed. Before we moved to Melbourne, we actually got to go on a great holiday to Italy. And I think you've heard this, if you've heard me preach a few times, I pretend to be a hiker, okay? I'm one of those people. I go to the outdoor shop and I'm just walking around oh yeah, they're the 620s. Yeah, I'll get them. Pretending I know what I'm talking about. I watch Bear Grylls. I go on YouTube and then I get myself in all kinds of trouble in the wild. And Ebony and I, this one day, we just had done this massive hike that was unbelievably hard. And I thought it was going to be easy when I invited her. Anyway, we had a great time. It was awesome. So Eb and I had been hiking all morning up this mega cliff. Sam Owen was just there. It's called the Path of the Gods in Positano and in Italy. And anyway, long story short, we hiked for 6 hours in 37 degree heat. We were so tired. And how we were going to get home to our apartment was on the bus, because it was in another town. And so we hop on the bus and we are just wrecked, right? We'd had so much fun. But you know that feeling when you're just I just need a shower. You know, I just need a shower. I just need to get home and chill out and get some Powerade. And anyway, we're like that, times 10 to the nth degree. And so we get on the bus and I thought I heard the bus say, if you need to get off at Positano, take this stop. And so I'm like, Eb, this is our stop. And then Ebony's here going, no, Dan, trust me. It goes all the way to our apartment. This is not our stop. And I was convinced. I'm like, no, this is our stop, Eb. He said Positano. And I, at the best of times, am not good in foreign countries trying to understand accents, right? I try my best. But anyway, unfortunately, I'm like, no, Eb, trust me. We got to get off. So I get my wife off the bus. We'd been walking all day and we go down about 500 stairs and then we have to go up about another 500 stairs to get to the apartment. And let's just say it was a quiet journey, if you know what I'm saying. I'm lugging it up, I'm nearly dying and Ebony's just not even looking at me in the eyes. And so we finally get to our apartment and it took us a good hour. And as soon as we get there, the bus we were on just stops by our apartment. And there was a bus stop right outside our hotel that if we had just sat there, it would have got us to where we wanted to go. And my marriage would have been a lot better off. But anyway, Ebony told me to wait on the bus and I was not obedient. I didn't listen. And sometimes the key to what we need is in waiting. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, in waiting. That's a word for some husbands out there. But anyway, have you forgiven me? 6 years later, I'm good. You've forgiven me. Okay, that's good. Well, guys, I want us to turn to Acts 1, where some disciples got asked by Jesus to wait. So we're turning to Acts chapter 1. Luke is writing this letter to Theophilus, and he's writing this letter, and it's straight after the Gospels. So let's read from verse 1. We're going to travel through some scripture. In my former book, Theophilus, I wish I could say that. Maybe we should name our son that. I wrote about all that Jesus had begun to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over and over for a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So this is after Jesus died, rose again, and now he's meeting with his disciples. It's incredible. He showed up to over 500 people. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait." Everyone say wait. "But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." I want to just pause there. We're going to keep reading, but for every believer, after we get saved, you know, we say a prayer inviting Christ into our life. And if you have never done that today, I'll give you an opportunity. But we say a prayer inviting Jesus into our life. We then have two moments of baptism that Jesus talks about. Number one is what we just read, the baptism of John. That's what we're doing in 2 weeks. When we have water, we have full immersion into water, we come out. Jesus himself did it in the New Testament. But there's a second baptism. And that's what we read here. You have been baptized in water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I love that. There are two moments. Sometimes they happen at the same time. So for Jesus, he went under in the baptism of water and then the heavens opened and the dove of the Holy Spirit came upon him. Sometimes they happen in different moments, but we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered round him, verse 6, and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times and dates that the Father has set by his own authority." You ready for this? Verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Amazing. Jesus told them to wait. Is anyone else impatient or is it just me? They had to wait 50 days. Like, come on, like waiting is hard. But I want to encourage us with this key thought that the Christian life is impossible to live without the help and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is impossible to live out to its fullest without the help and the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. He is our helper, as Ebony said, our advocate. That's his role and his name, and we need that help, friends. If the disciples needed it, I think you and I need it. If Jesus needed it, before Jesus even did one miracle, he had to go through the baptism of water, the baptism of the Spirit, and then he went into the wilderness to be tested. And the Bible tells us he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit, and then he began his ministry. And so the disciples are sitting and Jesus said, wait. He said, all right, Peter, John, James, the 12 disciples, the 120 disciples, the 500, before you go and fulfill your calling, I need you to wait. Before you go back to your friends and your family and the towns you're from, I need you to wait. Before you go and live out this Christian life I just taught you about for 3 years, I need you to wait. Before you go and do all I've told you to do and fulfill the Great Commission, I need you to wait. So why did Jesus tell them to wait? They needed the Holy Spirit, just like we do. And I love this thought that it goes on to say, and you will be my witnesses throughout all the earth. And each of the disciples went on and did amazing things. The Bible says they turned the world upside down. But the key was this, that they needed to be filled with the Spirit of God. They needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They needed the power Jesus promised. And I want to tell you this in your life and my life, that the Holy Spirit is the key to us fulfilling our calling. For you to be the best mom you can be to your children, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. For you to be a great husband to your wife, husbands, you can't do it alone. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here and you are working in the workplace to be a great employee and to be a light for Jesus in your workplace. You need the Holy Spirit to run a great business and to see the blessing of God on it. You need the Holy Spirit to fulfill our calling. You and I need Him. And I love this thought that to live our best life, to be people of joy, of peace, of hope, we need the Holy Spirit. And I love, we're going to jump right now to Acts chapter 2. We're just skipping forward a little bit to when this happened. So let's read on Acts chapter 2. This is the day of Pentecost. As Ebony said, it literally means 50th day, 50 days after Jesus had resurrected. It was actually a festival the Jews had celebrated for years. But we read on in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, everyone say suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I love this verse because it didn't say some of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't like, oh, this gift is for these believers, but not these believers. Or this gift is for those who haven't sinned in the last 7 days. Or this gift is for those who come from generations of believers or Jewish heritage. No, the gift of the Holy Spirit came on all the believers. In Joel, the old prophet prophesied that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. I want to encourage you that this gift available is for you and me. All that is required, as I shared earlier, is that we would ask. All were filled. And just lastly, out of there, we read in Acts 2:38, last passage of scripture. What happened was they were filled, and instantly, Peter came out of the upper room, out of the house they were in, and just began yelling and preaching about the kingdom of God to a crowd of thousands of people. And the Bible tells us, I think we read from verse 38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off from whom the Lord will call." And in that day, 3,000, it says, came to Christ. Isn't this incredible? The same Peter that just days earlier, when Jesus needed him most, it was like Peter's moment. He said, "Lord, others will forsake you. I will not." And Jesus turned to him and said, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter's like, "Lord, I would rather die." But then 3 times, Peter in his fear cowers. His boldness evaporated at the thought of he could die too. And he this is just 53 days earlier. And then Peter, he turns around. He was so weak, so timid. He'd let his down guard. Jesus restores him. But the same Peter who had just been so ashamed and so like just didn't have what it took, what it seemed, to do what God had called him to do, as soon as he was filled with the Holy Spirit, an immense boldness came on him. And that same Peter who denounced Christ then stood up in the call of God, preached the gospel, and the church began that day with 3,000 people coming to Christ. And guys, you know, you and I, when that 120 went to 3,000, that has been expanding ever since. And that church is now over billions of people across the world, including us today, because Peter had the boldness to preach the gospel. But what changed? It's the same Peter. It was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us courage and boldness to be who God's called us to be and to do what God's called us to do. You are the best you when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you feel inadequate sometimes. I feel inadequate every morning. People often actually ask me, like, how did you and Ebony, at 25 years of age, move your life to Melbourne and plant this church we're in today? And I'd love to tell you it was because we were bold. But can I tell you, we were terrified every single day, shivering with fear and didn't feel good enough and didn't feel worthy and didn't feel like we thought we would fail. And we every single moment was one filled with fear. But one thing Ebony and I did, to the best of our ability, every morning we'd get up and we would say, Lord, I'm waiting on you, Holy Spirit. And he would fill us. And what we found with boldness would come up on the inside because the Spirit of God was with us. So if you need courage today to be who God has called you to be and to do what he's called you to do, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And boldness will come on your life to do what you've called us to do. In Christmas, we celebrate the gift of Jesus, the Son. But today on Pentecost, we are celebrating the gift of the Holy Spirit. We now have access. We just read about 120 believers in the upper room, but that unlocked something where the Holy Spirit was poured out for all. It wasn't just for the 120. In fact, just in that same day, Peter said to 3,000 be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were. We have access today. If you have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, a bit later on in the service, we're just going to create an altar. We're going to lay hands on you and we're going to believe God for that same baptism that happened on the day of Pentecost. And I got to tell you, friend, it will change your life. You will not be the same person. You'll have boldness tomorrow to do things that you couldn't do today. And if you need a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit, I found for me, it's not just a once-off magic moment. It's an everyday thing for me. And sometimes the oil runs dry, but I'm telling you, the Spirit of God's in this place to fill us afresh here today. He is available. Acts 1:8, my key thought, and I'll invite the band up in a moment. I'll tell you when, sorry guys. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power. Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So just two super quick thoughts. What is the goal here? So obviously, we talked about being baptized in the Spirit. I just have two really quick practical thoughts around the Holy Spirit. Number one, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Do you know something I've learned in being married to my beautiful wife of 8 years coming is relationship is built in the context of time together. And those who are married or have great friends or, you know, your children or your parents, you would get this, right? That when you spend enough time with someone, you just get to know them so intimately. And it builds over time to the point where Ebony can give me one look and I know exactly what she's telling me, friend. I can tell when she's hungry by a look. I can tell when she wants to leave the party by a look. And boy, oh boy, I can tell when I'm in trouble from a look. What happened there? Over 8 years or 10 years together, we have built a relationship. But what the secret of that relationship has been is time. You and I, we cannot shortcut a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And in a crazy, stupid, busy world filled with more distractions than humanity has ever experienced by 100-fold, you and I need to be a people as disciples of Jesus who have the discipline and out of a love for God, just to create time to be with the Holy Spirit. I want to read this verse that Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 13:14. He's actually signing off the letter. This is at the end of the letter to the church. I love this. This is the Trinity in action. Check this out. He says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, everyone say fellowship, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That tells me that one of the Holy Spirit's most beautiful things he offers you and I individually is a personal friendship with him, fellowship with him, relationship. Do you know, I believe it is the number one pursuit of our lifetime to build a personal friendship with the Holy Spirit. That's his desire, guys. His desire for you is that he would be your greatest friend. That in your darkest moments in life, rather than turning to your spouse first or turning to drink something when you feel pressure or turning to what's like, that you would actually turn to him. And out of your intimacy of knowing him, saying, Holy Spirit, I need help in this situation. He wants to be, when life is going amazing and we're on the mountaintop, that we're celebrating getting that promotion or falling pregnant or whatever life throws at us, and that you're jumping with joy and you thank the Holy Spirit. He desires true intimacy with you and I. And we can build a personal friendship that will build for the rest of our life with him. But there's no shortcuts. It creates time. And I've learned that in my marriage. If I want our marriage to be healthy, I need to have time with Ebony. I need to, in the busyness of life, carve out a holiday, carve out a date night, carve out time every day to ask her how she's going. And if I do that, our relationship strengthens. If I don't, our intimacy dwindles. And it's the same with you and I and the precious Holy Spirit. And so my encouragement is that every day you and I would wake up and the first thing on our mind is him. Before we turn to the phone, before we put on Instagram, or before we make that coffee, that we just go and we spend time with him every morning. We're just communing with him, fellowship with him. That throughout our day, we would walk with him, keep in step with him. That it's not like, oh, I've done my quiet time now. Goodbye, Holy Spirit. See you tomorrow morning. He wants to walk with us as friends through life. Lord, Holy Spirit, what should I do in this moment? Holy Spirit, what should I do with this crazy situation at work, this child who's driving me nuts, this, you know, like, what should I do? And then at nighttime, as we go to bed, the last thing we do is, good night, Holy Spirit. Spend time with him. So for you, what is your next step? Because I have found that the ball is in our court. The Holy Spirit is available. We have unlimited access to this gift of him. But the problem is not with the giver, it's with the receiver. And it's up to us how intimate we will be with him. And so what is the next step for you and I out of this Pentecost Sunday to just get that one step closer with him? And guys, I have discovered in all the pursuits of my life, this is the most precious to me. To have a growing and intimate relationship with the precious Holy Spirit. And my second and final thought, the band can come up, is daily receive power. Daily receive power. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, Paul writes to the church there. He said, it's so simple, I love this. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. It's almost like, I want you to imagine, I love how, you know, we just heard that God's poured out his Spirit upon all flesh. And I imagine like a waterfall or a tap. And you and I can either turn on the tap and receive every day, or through our inaction or actions, we can turn off the tap and it runs dry. And Paul is encouraging us as believers, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not be found in a day where you are dry on the inside. Do not be found in a day where you haven't had time with him. In fact, hey, do not quench it, but fan into flame that gift. And just like the bus, right? Ebony and I ended up in the same destination. Ours just happened to be a lot flipping harder. Everyone else was in aircon on the bus, laughing and giggling. We were sweating like there's no tomorrow, fighting. We got to the same destination, but in different ways. And I found in our life, friend, that we have two choices every day as believers. I'm talking to Christians. We can either live by our flesh or live by the Spirit. We can live this life completely defeated, overwhelmed every day. We can be believers in Jesus. We can go to heaven and know we're going to get saved and believe the Bible. But if we're living every day without the help of the Holy Spirit, it's not how God intended us to live. And it's like Eb and I lugging up those stairs. It's flipping hard. It's hot. And it's just like I seem defeated. Or we can be a people who stay on the bus, who wait on the Holy Spirit every day. Every morning we get clothed with power afresh. And the grace of God leads and guides us. And the Holy Spirit carries our burdens for us. He takes our worries. He takes our anxieties. He takes our fears and our challenging situations. And we live every day with the Holy Spirit, with the power of God on our life that equips us for every challenge. And I want to just end on this, friend. When you and I are full of the Holy Spirit, when we've got the power of God on us, we are unstoppable. There's no demon on hell that can attack us and overcome us. There's no challenge that's too hard for us to face. There's no situation we cannot overcome. There is no calling that God's put on our life that we cannot fulfill if we're a people filled with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power, the same power that rose Christ from the dead, the same power that rose Lazarus from the grave, the same power that went to hell and defeated the enemy and got the keys of death and life. We can live with that upon us. But we have to be people who every morning get to the quiet place, shut the door, get on our knees and say, "Come, Holy Spirit, I wait on you this morning." People who pray in tongues. I can't get into that today, but praying in the Spirit. There's things we can do in our prayer life that just gets power on us. Amen? Why don't we all stand to our feet here today?